This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. It's Friday, the 20th day of May, 2016, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 1 through chapter 26, verse 2. Jeremiah 32, verse 6 through 27, and the New Testament reading is found in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. Visit the Lifestyle Store at warn-usa.com, where you will find specially selected top name brand products that range from survival items of all kinds to personal needs and other miscellaneous items. When you need that something extra to help you in your journey, go to the Warn Radio Lifestyle Store at warn-usa.com. By shopping with Warn Radio in our Lifestyle Store, you're supporting the WIBR Warn Radio Ministries and helping to ensure this message continues to get out. The Watchman and I say thank you to all our listeners, supporters, and those who pray for us. We truly appreciate it. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good.
I'm a little hot. I'm actually warm.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Well, I know. It's a different feeling.
I've been cold for months. Yeah, and now it's hot. Today was a good day.
Well, it's been warm, and I got to get readjusted to it. Right now, I could use a cold dip. Yeah, that's the way we are. You know, we get hot, and we want to get cold, and when we get cold, we want to get hot.
That's why
everybody lives in places like Hawaii, because of the median temperature is so perfect.
Yes. That's true. But it's a volcanic island.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been working on quite a number of things on our Warn Radio sites. And I finished up what I was working on. And now we can officially talk about worldwide. Warn Radio now is legitimately worldwide. I have connected, number one, I redid our feeds for our iTunes, and they're up and running with all of the shows. So if you've ever had iTunes and you've missed them for a while on Warn Radio, because there's been a lot of changes at Blog Talk and things with us. I've been moving our websites around and going to the Genesis framework for the last year and a half. So at any rate, we got over and I finished that. And I finished also our FeedCat, which we have lots of people that use FeedCat and they listen. And it's not just for the radio shows. It's for the news articles and everything else. Everything gets put on FeedCat. But we also have Stitcher, which is a whole entirely new avenue for us in syndication. Our shows are on Stitcher now. And then our shows are also on TuneIn. Now, I use TuneIn anyway. Now, Warn Radio is officially on TuneIn. And so what this means is that every kind of smartphone there is, practically everything there is, every laptop, every pad, iPad, notepad, notebook, laptop, computer, you name it. We have a show format for you to listen to our shows. We have a show format now for, we've had it, but I haven't advertised it until I got all this done. And that's our Vimeo site, which has the ability to receive it on television and Roku, and it has special software that you can get it. You can get it through all kinds of, smartphones and desktops as well. But so we've added in all, for instance, Stitcher right now, and you can talk about Stitcher and even tune in. Every continent on this earth, and in more than 230 countries, Warn Radio is now available in some form for people to listen to. If they don't have a computer and they have a cell phone, they can get the app, and they can listen to the show. And,
that just amazes me. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's fine.
I was just amazed at all the things you can put the Warn Radio show on, the Bible teachings and everything. It's just amazing.
Well, over on Warn Radio, or Warn USA, I put a full page about all the different formats we have and explaining down at the bottom of that what we do and what we are. I've also got it linked in the top of the nav bar on the front page or any other page. Under Warn Radio on the nav bar, scroll down and you will see it. And I can't remember the exact title, something like Warn Radio Worldwide. But if and we're not kidding here. This is really the way that things are going right now. And our website, I combined them and put them on this format. The format that we have with the Genesis framework features airtight security. That's one of the reasons I got it. It's made by experts, guys that are good at this, and we have a lot of reasons why we're on Genesis Network, our framework. It's one of the top frameworks for websites anywhere built on this planet. So we are confident, I'm confident, that we are well established to get the word of the Lord out worldwide. And make no mistake, we've had people from around the world on our websites. Around the world, almost every nation on this earth has been, somebody in that nation has been on our website. And you figure that over all these years, then that's the gospel going forth. Now, not everything we do is gospel, but you can definitely find radio shows. You can find the Word of God on our websites, and that's the point. So I wanted to be sure and share that tonight. And
yeah,
so
that's exciting.
I really would like people to find all these things, try them out on the various formats if you want to or if you can. But we want you to take a look at them, take a look at the show format on these things, leave comments, like us on these things, tell them around to your friends, because this helps us in the search results. Make no mistake. And I've also linked up our DanaGlennSmith.com site, and I've changed, we have certain things that we do every day, and the site for Dana Glenn Smith, I'm going to have a commentary on it, but it's going to feature a lot more, and I'm going to start working on putting those things up there. It's going to take a while before we get everything up there, and it'll be a continual thing. But we're working on a lot of things, and they're just me and Tower. So, it's you can only do so much so fast. So there it is. Check out all these things, if you will. Be sure to send them around through Facebook. Let everybody know. And also, we want your comments on these things. If you have other ideas and things, let us know on this. But you know, we want you to give us a good rating if they, you know, on these things too. You know, I don't need any bad ratings, haha. Because over the years, my preaching, I've made a few people mad. But at any rate, that's my advertisement for tonight, Tower.
Okay, that sounds good.
So at any rate, I am glad to be here.
Me
Friday
too.
Night.
Glad it's Friday, yes.
And we have
yes,
been
sirree.
Super busy. Tower's been super busy. And she's been, you know, all the kids are, well, a portion of them anyway, are trying to take care of the house. And they're having a big sale this week. And so we have to clean up everything, you know, that the folks are gone. And it's quite a chore.
Oh, man.
But,
I'm telling you, I'm worn out today.
But they, you know, just no easy way to do this. And
I
had my grandson here this afternoon, so he helped me for a while in here, and then he went outside. He was outside with Satyrs. That's our dog, been out there actually most of the day. He really did a good job being out there because these kids love this. I've decided that Braden, well, I shouldn't say his name, but my grandson, because I don't like to mention the family, folks, because you wind up with enemies when you do things like this, and
yeah.
I don't like people to know. I do not post any pictures of my family online if I can help it. You all see my face. That's fine. I'm the one doing this. But my family, I keep it quiet. But,
so anyway, your grandson?
Yeah, but at any rate, my grandson, I've decided he's going to be my techie.
Yeah, that's a good job for him. He'll be doing a good job, I'm sure.
Yeah, he loves it. He's into this stuff already, and he's quite young, so I'm gonna bring him up. I was teaching him today some things on the laptop. And
well, that's cool.
Yeah. So he's coming along, and he'll get there. So, you know, you got to pass the torch on. You know, you can't do it all yourself, although, you know, we do a lot of it, do everything. We're just small. You know, I'm not interested in being big. We're interested in just preaching the Word of God. That's what we're doing. And I read an article from WorldNet Daily today, and they were talking about the Christian books that are out there and what people, you know, the Christians that love these kind of books. And I've been sending my book that I finished out to various, quite a number now. I'm going to send them out till I reach a certain number, and then we'll go from there. But I'm really getting to the point to where, you know, my agent is Jesus Christ. So I don't know why I think I need an agent. But at any rate, I've had a lot of good responses. Nobody really wanted to be an agent, you know, frankly, you know, I get to the point to where some of these people, you know, I don't even know who they are, you know, and so they want me to send them a little thing, you know, about the book or about what I'm doing, and they read it, and it takes them like a minute and a half to 2 minutes. Then they send an auto reply saying I didn't connect. Well, yeah, of course you didn't connect, you moron. You know, a minute and a half to 5 minutes at the most, and you're trying to tell me that you didn't connect with the book? Yeah, you didn't connect with the book. And see, this is why we have what we have in this country and why so many people self-publish, because of these idiots out there that are supposed to be professional, and they know English. But, you know, I mean, you cannot, and they get tons of these things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So, I can publish all my own stuff. I can do my own graphics. I do not need help, you know. But I wanted to have a regular publisher. So if you really, if you pray for us, pray that God would open up that publisher. And if I'm going to have an agent, they better be a good agent, because I'll run the suckers off. I'm telling you. I ain't going to play no games. I ain't going to change nothing. And I write these things, and in it I've got a character that's a radical preacher, and he's a patriot. And I ain't going to tone down what he says. That's the reason I'm writing the book. And I've got a Jewish prophet, and he's going to be in your face. You know, and I've got people that get saved, and they're going to be in your face. And so if you don't like that backslidden America, too bad. I'd rather have 10 books that I wrote and give them away to someone than sell a million books that are fodder for the devil. And I can say to you out there, screw this mess that we have in America. And I'm telling you, I didn't, you know, and I was looking at the way this thing was going for a lot of years, and this guy wrote this, and it came out of WorldNet Daily, and he was just saying what Christians are accepting as gospel today and what they believe today. And then he talked about Olstein's book, I Am, you know, the power of I Am. You know, I mean, you know, this guy, it just irritates me, you know, Osteen and some of the others. You know, and I don't think about them.
I
really
get it.
Don't. But see, you know, I'm teaching the Word of God, okay? And in it, we just got done in Timothy where Paul told Timothy to stay away from that evil mammon. And so we have head pastors that are, you know, and evangelists, you know, and living millions and millions, you know, multiple million-dollar homes.
Yeah.
You know, buy a small home that you can live in and give the rest of the money out here. Do you realize that there's people, even in America, that could use your money? But especially the persecuted church, they could use. Some of these organizations need some funds to help these people. And you're sitting in an $8 million home, and you call yourself a Christian, and you're all this other, well, bloody, bloody, blah, blah. That's your kingdom, Buster. We're not called to get rich in this stupid world. We're called to preach the gospel, to face the devil down, and I feel this coming. If I'm going to get in Timothy, I better get it going, because I'm going to wind up somewhere else. It just irritates me.
It is. It does.
I'll say it irritates me righteously. I've got righteous indignation. There you go. So at any rate, and you can ask Tower. You know, I've got some of the best publishing software and stuff, and I do all the graphics, but I don't want to have to do it all. But at any rate, we can do it. I come up a little short on the sales end because I'm not a great salesman. I'm a preacher. That's what I do. I'm a preacher and teacher of God's Word. And I'm not here for the millions. I'm here for the one and two or whatever God sends our way. But I can tell you, although I say that, you know, for instance, our Feed Cat feed, let me tell you, we've got thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. You know, and this week was the figures are high, you know, and it's not as high as, but for us, we're happy with that.
Yeah.
So at any rate, we're, you know, and they listen to, some of them will listen to the shows and some of them will read the articles, but I guarantee you that a lot of the articles I write, I put the Word of God. You come to my site, you're going to run into the Word of God. And if you listen to some of the things I teach and preach, sooner or later you're going to hear me anointed. I'm going to be preaching and telling you the truth. And that's the way it is.
Amen.
There's no apologies on our websites. You come to our websites, you're going to get the Word of God right in your face. Of course, some of the ads you may not like, but those ads I really don't have a lot of control of. And besides, some of those, of course, a lot of them really is Amazon. And we don't really make hardly anything on Amazon. Matter of fact, if I could get it to the point where they would actually kind of swap what I want to buy from them, that would work.
Yeah.
But at any rate, we don't make, you know, in the old days, you know, I really kept a lot of Google ads going, and then there was a time we went without them, and I have a number of them back, but we're on a republish syndication now. And there's a lot of ads in those articles that we don't get any revenue off of at all, because this is part of the cost of syndication. When I'm part of a, when someone takes one of my articles and puts it on their site, those articles are syndicated, and there's ads in them, or supposed to be, and you know, that revenue should come to us. But you, I mean, you got to have a lot of people doing it. But if you're just a small blog and want to use one of our articles, you come on over and click the republish copyright logo, and it'll tell you all you need to do. And all you have to do is copy and paste it, and it'll work. So. Well, you know, Tower, we are here on a weekend again, but...
goes by so fast. We say that every week.
Well, you know, we do, and, you know, we're coming down to the end of May.
Oh, I know.
If my
Well, we've gone through two-thirds of it.
Yeah, we have. I could use my little grandson to help me plant.
Oh, I know. He would love that.
Well, he's helped me water today.
Was he?
Yeah. He likes to water. He's helped me before.
Yeah, he likes to dig in the dirt, too, so he would love the planting.
Well, you know, and then we've got these big planters, and so when you water them, the water will come out the bottom. And so on one of our planters, a bunch of water came out, and he was going to flood the earth. So that's when he took all your stuff and made the equipment, the farm equipment thing out there by the water.
A farm equipment store.
Yeah. Well, I like kids to do that. I like kids to be able to go outside and play and have imagination. You know, kids today don't have imagination. They don't. And, you know... the only imagination they have is the computer, and that's not good. And I won't let him, you know, when he's with me, I won't let him. I make him get up. We'll go outside and walk around, and I'll tell him to go outside for a while. But, you know, I have to as part of my job in order to get things done. But I still get up and go out, but I want him to get out there. And it's not good for kids to be in here. It's not good for I seen a young girl walking by today. And you could hear her. She had something up to her, and she says, "What?" She was on the cell phone. I mean, that's our kids, you know, all of them. They have that phone stuck to their ear.
Oh, I know.
They don't know anything else.
They're not going to know what to do when they don't have them.
Well, yeah. So, at any rate, I'm going to get started on this tower.
Okay, well, I got a few things.
Go ahead.
Hard-hitting biblical commentary focusing on prophecy, news, and the Word of God. This is the Watchman's personal in-time e-letters. Sign up from our website. Find the black tab on the left side with the green push-me lettering, and you can sign up on that at warn-usa.com. Follow Warren Radio and The Watchman to get in on the latest prophecy, world events, biblical teachings, and preparation for what's coming. You can follow The Watchman at hashtag WatchmanIS216 or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And you can follow Warren Radio at hashtag Warren Radio. And tonight on Sound Shofar, the biblical teaching by the Watchman is the Epistles of St. Paul to Timothy, Part 3, Godliness with Contentment. And now back to you, Dana, for the rest of the show.
Yes, we are in Timothy now. And, I'll tell you, it's been a good study. And I enjoy these things. And so, at any rate, we're going to get going on this tower. So you sit back and cheer me on, and we'll go from there. 1 Timothy 5, and then we're going to go into, Well, we got six. Let me look, see where, yeah, then we'll be in 2 Timothy. Okay. Let as many servants as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now you see, we hear a lot about slavery in America. And it's always the white man's fault. And it's always, you know, we castigate the Southerners because they had it. And, of course, the North, you know, they fought to free them. And I have no problem with that. I wouldn't be a slave owner. I don't believe in it. But when you look at the Bible, you know, slavery was a way of life in the Roman Empire. And what we have here is the Bible doctrine for slavery as it was in the time of Paul. He's not going to tell them to escape. He's not going to tell them to kill their masters. And to understand this more clearly, read the one to the epistle to Philemon. And to the servants that are under the yoke, that's slavery, they're to honor their masters, so that God and his doctrine is not blasphemed. This is hard teaching. And I can tell you that the Black Lives Matter people and a lot of others would not like this. They would not like this at all. Matter of fact, they may hate Paul for this. But the fact of the matter is, you can go back into the Torah and you can find other teachings regarding slavery. Slavery is not an old, outdated doctrine. It's something that is in there, and we have to deal with it. And, you know, this is tough stuff. You know, I don't operate well thinking about slavery or being a slave. And that's because I'm American. But the bottom line of it is that Paul directly talked to Timothy about it. Matter of fact, he went on to say, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now see, if any man teach otherwise, now that follows in the context of slavery. Is he talking about just slavery here? Well, he goes on to say, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions, strifes of words, whereof come an evil strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. What he's talking about in this section here, the first two verses are definitely about slavery. The third one is talking about if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. And that would apply in the teaching that Paul did on servants, but that's not all that he's talking about here. He's talking about the things that he's been covering. Wholesome words, walking in the wholesome, the holiness of the gospel, and staying away from the things of the flesh and this little teaching that was going around, pushed by people that came out of the church there, that gain is godliness. See, that's what we did today. And there's been people preaching this since, I think, the mid-60s, early 70s, supposing that gain is godliness. And that's a doctrine that took the church by storm, and it's still there. Gain is godliness. So when you want to know if someone is godly, you look at how much money they have. And that's the way we do it in America many times, is that, well, he's a Christian, look at him, God's blessed him, you know, and he's got so much money, he's rich, he's a millionaire, and all this other stuff. But there's others that, you know, make a doctrine out of it, and they're not millionaires, but they push it, gain is godliness. But Paul says, from such withdraw yourself. See, because the teaching in godliness, the wholesome words, okay, now this is what Paul is talking about. If any man teach otherwise, in other words, those who do not teach wholesome words. What is a wholesome word? A word that's according to godliness, because he explains it. When he's talking about wholesome words, it's the words that the Lord Jesus Christ taught, his doctrine, which is godliness. And so in dealing with servants, the wholesome word is, count your masters worthy. You know, be good to them, and then they will be good back most of the time. And if you're a believing master, don't treat your servants like dogs or worse, but take care of them. See, that's wholesome. You know, I mean, if you're a farmer and you have a cow and a sheep and a dog and a cat and a chicken, you're going to take care of them animals. So you wind up and you're taking care of the animals, so suddenly you get a slave in there and you treat the slave worse than you do the animals. That's baloney. And, well, in the Old South, the stories are rife with slave owners treating these blacks horrible. And like I said, I am not a proponent of slavery, but I'm not going to apologize for something I didn't do. You know, that's the way it is. Matter of fact, many of the people that took some of those black slavery, you know, as slaves, were Muslim slave traders, and many of them were black. Now, okay, wholesome words. Now, when we talk about, we get off the slavery thing, here's another one that Paul threw in here. Money. Gain is godliness in your faith. He says, wholesome words in this, the doctrine. The thing that Christ wants you to know is that if you're godly and you're content, that is great gain. That's the profit that God wants to see. He's not saying you can't get rich. He's not saying that you shouldn't have money. He's not saying anything of the sort. He is saying that there are those that go around and count godliness with how much money you have, and that's ludicrous. But that's what we do. And if you really want to be classified as having someone with great gain in the eyes of God, then prosper in godliness. Okay? That's the wholesome word. That's the doctrine according to godliness, and you can apply it to anything. Here in 1 Timothy 6, in the first portion, he applied it to slavery and money. You might know it. And the reasoning here, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Now, the other one I like with this, and it's in the same context. So godliness with contentment is great gain is connected to this thought, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now you think about that, okay? You're living in America, or you could be living in the UK, or you could be living in Australia, or any one of a country that does fairly well, that you can actually kind of prosper. You have good doctors, you have a nice car, you have a nice house, etc., etc. You don't have to be in America for this. Now, look at what you have. You have a house. How many bedrooms? Does it have a bathroom in it? Does it have a kitchen in it? Do you have the internet? Do you have any computers? Do you have a cell phone? Do you have a regular phone? Do you have a phonograph? You know, do you have a big music system? Do you have a television? Do you have a big screen television? How many cars and trucks do you have out front? Do you have doctors? Do you have lawyers? Do you have, you know, do you buy organic food or just regular food? Are you a shopper at Walmart? See, look at what you have. Now, what did he say? Having food and raiment. Having steaks and lobster and mink stoles. Of course, today people hate that because it's an animal. Let's just take something else, you know, that raiment, clothes, expensive clothes, you know, patent leather shoes, you know. We don't even wear patent leather, but but see, you see the simplicity here? Godliness with contentment. That's great gain. Walking in godliness and holiness for Christ. The other thing of it is, if you have food, you're not going to have steaks. He's not saying that, having food. What was common if you're on the road all the time like Paul? Well, if it was today, it would be like a sandwich. You know, if you're lucky. And you have a secondhand coat. If you're lucky. Having food and raiment. He doesn't say a home. He doesn't say a car. He doesn't say a house. He doesn't say heat in the wintertime. He doesn't say air conditioning in the summer. Food and raiment. Let us be content. Now you think for a minute. If America falls, or if we go, or any number of nations goes into a tailspin in the financial markets, and suddenly you can't get to the bank account, you don't have anything. What if you lost everything and all you had was a piece of bread and you had clothing, the clothes on your back? You know how many people would kill themselves? They'd be depressed. What does Paul tell the church? He's speaking to the church here, folks. I'm telling you that when you think you're persecuted in America, you're not persecuted. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That godliness with contentment, that's the gain we should have. And that if you have just food and raiment, we're to be content. Well, we have a lot of food. We've all eaten good at the table. We haven't gone without in America. God has blessed this country. And he's blessed the churches. There's no doubt about it. But, folks, it's not always going to be that way. We're in the end days. And when you really get down to it, and I can tell you, I've heard a few sermons on Timothy, and very few will belabor these points. You don't speak to a congregation and tell them godliness with contentment is great gain, and having food and raiment, they're supposed to be content. No, because they're upset because something didn't go right. You know, their appointment to the dentist didn't go right. Well, this doesn't say a dentist, okay? Their appointment to the doctor, you know, didn't go right. Their car didn't work right. Their job, you know, something went wrong with the job. See, Paul is getting a point. And when you're working for the Lord, and when you were in the Roman Empire, like Paul was, it was, you went from town to town to town. You depended on the brethren to help you out, to get you food. He wasn't a rich man. And even if he did have money when he began this, he wouldn't have been able to keep it up because he left, really, the Judaizers' faith, the Sanhedrin, and became a Christian and preached the gospel. So, you know, he says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, you see, the thing here, look at America, and I use America, mainly because it's so easy to use, and I live here. Now, let's look at the rich for a moment. Look at the Kennedy family. Look at how many things centered around them. Remember Ted Kennedy and Chappaquiddick? Yeah. Do you remember JFK and the Marilyn Monroe thing? You see, they that would be rich. And there's a lot of people that you don't know of that are rich, and they fall into temptation. You have pastors, and they do well. They're rich in the eyes of the world. Their churches are big, many of them. How many have gotten into trouble? Look at Jim Baker and his former wife. She's dead now. Tammy Faye. You know, and we actually saw a testimony of Tammy Faye toward the end of her life. And it was a moving testimony. You really don't know what people are thinking. And you look at them on television and you have a tendency to judge them. And I'll tell you, if you ever have a chance to see Tammy Faye's testimony after the thing with Jim Baker and her at PTL, you need to watch it. But see, this temptation and a snare, they drown people. Into many foolish and hurtful lusts. And see, how many people have we seen in America that got in trouble? This is one of the truest scriptures I think there is that Paul wrote. Because today people do drown in destruction. And politicians, and I forgot which politician it was. He was running for president. And somehow some gal got caught up with him. And it got out, and I think he was a senator or something at the time. It's right on the tip of my tongue. At any rate, he got in trouble. And, of course, a lot of these women that come out like that, they end up writing books or something. They do real well, you know, pose nude for Playboy and make millions or something. But the guy, he gets slaughtered if he's in politics. But you see, this is the thing. This is the thing. And the main part of this that Paul is leading to is verse 10. And believe you me, okay? If there's one phrase that's preached in the Christian church, it's this one, for the love of money. You see, and of course, when we preach on the love of money, we never are guilty of it. Oh, no. We are just fine. You know, we're sitting there. We got everything. You know, nice house, beautiful car, you know, beautiful clothes, beautiful wife, wonderful husband, good looking, you know, got everything. Everything's fine and dandy in Randy's world, you know. Everything's fine and dandy, wonderful, whoopla. So he gets up in the pulpit, starts laying it down on love of money. But I don't have any love of money. But godliness, you know, that's right. If you're rich, hey, gain with godliness. That's right. God blesses you and you're going to be rich. Now, see, you can find part of that doctrine in the Tanakh. But the fact of the matter is, just because Abraham was rich and some of the patriarchs, the bottom line of it is the teaching for the New Testament and Christ himself, it's against mammon. And we're to trust God. Now see, the one thing is, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things, that is the things the world seeks after, shall be added unto you. But you seek first the kingdom of God. And now the other thing of it is, godliness with contentment is great gain. So, now, the biblical thing here is godliness with contentment is great gain. You seek first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the other thing of it is that you should be given a first fruits off of your, we call it a tithe, off of your income in order to bless God and let him bless you. I mean, that's really what you should do. But whether you do it or not, that's up to you. I mean, I personally don't care, but that's what you need to do. You should do. I mean, if you want to take the biblical example. But make no mistake, a lot of the churches that preach tithing today will not even touch the law. So that's where it makes it kind of in your face that, oh, church, you know, you won't have nothing to do with the law, yet you push the law of tithing to your people. And I've even heard John Hagee preach that you're going to hell if you don't give your money. And, of course, he wanted you to pay your tithe to him. Now, see, that's a misinterpretation. There's nowhere in Scripture that tells you you're going to go to hell for not paying your tithe. Matter of fact, he should know better, but he doesn't. But I don't have any bones to pick with John Hagee. If that's what he wants to preach, him and God will sort it out. Because he does do some things to help Israel, you know. He's the one that came up with CUFI, you know, Christians United for Israel. So, you know, he has definitely done some good. You know, none of us are perfect. But see, we got to be careful what we teach. So the love of money is the root of all evil, verse 10. Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And then, now, you err from the faith. That's because you twist it. And you keep going down that path. And you can end up, you know, down the path still saying, oh, yeah, I believe in God. But you've fallen away from the truth. But thou, O man of God. Now, see, this is the wholesome word, okay? In America, you're not going to get away from this gain in godliness. You're not going to get away from the fact, you know, I mean, one day America is going to have trouble and it's going to go down, okay? The world's going to face a world of financial trouble. I mean, horrendous. Now, the thing of it is that in America, and you could say in many of the Western nations, you know, you could even say this in Japan, too, you know, because and South Korea, they would be facing the same thing because they've had prosperous economies. And the wholesome word, though, that you need to focus on, whether you're in South Korea, whether you're in Japan or Australia or South America or even America or in Europe somewhere, is this. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. What are you fleeing? The love of money. Okay? The idea and the concept that gain is godliness. Flee all of it. Stay away from it. He says, flee these things, but follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Now, see, these fruits, they'll prepare you for the Son of God to stand before him. This will lay your reward. I mean, this is what you should be doing. And he says further, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You're not running around preaching gain is godliness. You know, you're not caught up in this love of money, you know, this materialistic type thing that is in America or the world. And so you're fighting the good fight of faith. You're working for the Lord. You're trying to follow after those things which are good. And people are watching. And you have a good profession, a good testimony. People see it and they know it. They can see it in you. He says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now, of course, he's lifting up the Lord here. And he lifts up the Lord not only in glory, that's what these last verses were, but he brings up the testimony of Christ, our Lord, and how he handled himself before Pontius Pilate and all the others. It was a good confession to Pontius Pilate. And so these are the things that Paul brings to mind. Because as believers, we need to be reminding ourselves that Christ is the example. His word is the guide, and his spirit is the comforter. But he's also the one to reprove and rebuke you. He will tell you, he will convict you if you're not doing things right. So he gets down to the point, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now see, it's easy, and you know it and I know it, that when you're talking about the rich, many rich are high-minded, they're proud, they know how they got that way, they've, you know, and look at all the movie stars. Many of them, the ones that are successful, are very, very rich. And there's very few of them that can stay with the same spouse without getting in trouble, because there's so many pressures out there. And so when you see someone that's rich in this world, you know, you should say, you know, not to be high-minded, to think more highly of themselves. You know, then you should. Nor trust in uncertain riches. What is uncertain riches? Mammon of all kind. That's uncertain riches. Gold, silver, money, dollars, houses, homes, cars, trucks. You can't trust in these things. And especially today, we trust in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now he does. But there's also a flip side of that, which we report on. Around the world, Christians are suffering. They're being persecuted. They're being killed. They don't have all things to enjoy. They're persecuted. And you have to understand there's another part to Paul's teachings. You can find it in Acts. And he says, through much tribulation do we enter into the kingdom of God. See, this thought in America that gain is godliness and you can have everything, you know, and go to your church and be fine, and then before the bad times come, God's going to rapture you out and you're going to be with him, while the rest of the poor suckers have to stay here and go through it, when your own doctrine is wrong. But see, that's what you're taught and that's what you believe. I didn't say that the Lord ain't coming again. But I'm just telling you that the time you expect him to come, he ain't going to be there. And if you ignore the point about through much tribulation do we enter into the kingdom of God, you're going to miss the boat a little bit. because indeed he does, God does give us these things, but also, you know, it's if you do suffer persecution, do not fear those who will kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body and destroy the soul. You see, our perspective is we trust the Lord. And just a minute. And the thing of it is, in that trusting of the Lord, if we can serve him in the good times, which I've had a lot of good times in America, I mean, God has taken care of me and my family. And many times, even in spite of us, we've always managed to make it through. If you can make it in the good times and trust God, can you not trust him in the bad times? When things get really, 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 really bad, can you not trust him? When you don't know where your food's coming from, can you trust him? When there is no water, can you trust him and believe for water to come out of the rock? When there is no bread to eat, can you trust him for manna to fall? See, these are the questions the church in America and many other places have to answer. Because many people just sit down and starve to death rather than trust God. Trusting and faith during these kind of times takes faith and trust. I know that sounds like a doublespeak here, but it does. You see, if you're sitting around with a full bank account and a lot of money, it's easy to say to yourself, like the rich man, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, what do? Well, we retire here, and we got retirement, and we can take it easy. People in the world, though, don't retire. The Indians of old, if you got old enough, you just walked out and died out in the wilderness somewhere because it was time to go die. Only in this, really, in this day and age can we do things like that. It hasn't really been that way historically for mankind. So we've really been blessed, and lives are changed from what it used to be. And that's why when we read this about riches and high-mindedness, you know, people don't really like to teach and preach on these things. But see, then Paul gets down to the brass tacks. He says that they do good, speaking of those who are rich in the world, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And I've known a good friend of mine, successful Christian businessman. He's one of the best bosses I've seen. He wasn't perfect. He had, you know, his weaknesses. But one thing he didn't lack, and that was that he fundamentally believed that when push comes to shove, when it was bad, if there was one thing that was going to be sold in order to stay in business, it would be his. He believed God would keep him in business no matter what, and the Lord did. And he helped out. He was a very compassionate. He was a giving man. He's still alive. But you see, not everybody's like him, especially Christians. Now, I knew another guy, and he taught in Sunday school, and this guy was actually, he became an alcoholic, ended up dying, but he wasn't very well liked because he was really mean and really bad. But he did point out that he did teach Sunday school. So if you're rich in this world, and this goes even if you're poor, see, being poor is not going to get you closer to God. You know, and I've talked about this before. It's in Proverbs. You know, and I don't want to be so rich that I fall away from God and I forget Him. Neither do I want to be so poor that I wind up stealing in order to stay alive and thereby defaming the name of the Lord. I want to be right in the middle, you know, in that place where God takes care of me and I don't have to be too rich. And, you know, I don't want, that's not a thing here. The number one thing is being with the Lord. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may hold, lay hold on eternal life. And see, that's what you do even today. Whether you're rich in this world, and he's admonishing the rich to be rich in good works. But see, as believers, we're working for tomorrow. We're working for, you know, as it is said, you know, you're laying the foundation for your home in heaven. You know, you're laying it up. You're storing up riches in heaven, not in the bank that can take it away from you anyway. And he says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. The first to Timothy was written from Laodicea, which is the chiefest city of Perga. Now, that's the end of the first epistle. But I like these closing remarks in all of Paul's epistles, because in these you find some of the richest practical advice or commandments, however you want to say it, there is. And see, we've had, you know, when you talk about oppositions of science, you know, we all know about creationism. And then there is the Big Bang Theory. You know, we have scientists, you know, that, you know, they have problems with the Bible and with science, you know. But science, and I say this, science without God is humanism and paganism in one. A scientist, a true scientist that knows God, he'll be able to prove God exists. And so, one of the things of the last days that we were warned coming under Daniel, knowledge shall increase, and men will run to and fro in the earth. And that's happening today. We've had tremendous knowledge. And see, now with knowledge, and this is the very thing that the devil used on Eve, you know, he tempted Eve for that knowledge, to be as gods, to know good and evil. He just didn't fill in the full picture for her. Yep, those look good, Eve. You know, man, I'll bet they'd taste really good. But, you know, if you take that, Adam will go ahead and eat one too, so you can both be together. But you're both going to get kicked out of this beautiful garden. You know, and you notice around here, don't you, that there's no weeds in this here garden? And also that all the animals can talk? Did you know that if you eat that fruit, you're going to get kicked out of this place? You'll never see it again. Man will never see this place again. There will be a curse. There will be a curse on you, the woman, and on the man, and on earth because of eating that one fruit. But you'll know what good and evil is. but you won't be able to do anything about it because you'll choose the evil every time because of sin. You don't know that word yet, Eve, but it's sin. Yeah, I don't like that word either, but you see, this is how the devil does it. And he does it with your kids today, too. He does it with society. He does it through Barack Obama, who thinks it's a light thing to just sit behind his desk and make a declaration. Writes out less than 50 words and commands every U.S. school to have a transgender bathroom. It's that simple. He just tells his people to do it. You know, tell them all they got to follow it. Tell them all. You know, he can, when he has his cabinet together, he'll just tell them. You make sure they do it. And it came out today that, I forgot her name now, the woman in charge of the Department of Justice, she is really pro-gay and all the rest of it. It came out today that she was going to start persecuting all Christians that say anything against homosexuality and all the rest of the things that Barack Obama has pushed. Yeah. And so you are really getting close to Stalinism. You're not very far from that here in this country. And if you have a major cataclysmic event before the end of this year, which allows Obama to declare a martial law and stay in office, you may never see him out of that office again. I read a little story today on Barack Obama that said that when he, you know, is no longer a president, he's going to reside in the D.C. area, as we already know. But he's going to be quiet on the issues. See, that's what he wants you to believe. But, you know, more and more people are worried. They were worried about Bush with this, that this guy's going to declare martial law and stay in office. One of these days, somebody will do that, folks, because this country is heading down the wrong path. And we are totally lawless. And Barack Obama helped. Do you know he doubled the debt all by himself? Well, guess what? He doubled the lawless quotient all by himself. Nobody was able to push the homosexual army, homosexual, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgenderism. And, you know, this whole thing back in the 80s when it was all getting together, this pro-gay movement, there was a lot more to it than just those. There's all kinds of abominations out there waiting to be unleashed. And we think we've seen it all. You and I are not called to the riches of this world. We've enjoyed America when it was good, when we had preachers that would preach the Word of God. But we've also now witnessed it when America became truly lawless. We've been in America in the good times. We've seen the downturn in the bad times. But we're going to be going to the really bad times. See, God hasn't called you at all to fall in love with America or mammon. He's called you to fall in love with Him. Christ Jesus. You are building up your foundation for heaven. And the words of Paul are going to come true. I guarantee it. And as a watchman, I can state emphatically that it will happen. You do not enter into the kingdom of heaven but through much tribulation. And for this generation, there is much tribulation. And for some of those in the church, it will be tribulation and it will be death. And I'm speaking of physical death. But then there's also some of those who will experience spiritual death. This is this is what's going to happen. Now, 2 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. I love that verse. And Paul uses this a lot. You know, and you look at it. An apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. An apostle. He was the leader of the apostles of Jesus Christ. This is the Son of Almighty God who was prophesied to come by the will of God, who is his Father, Jesus Christ being the Son, according to the promise of life, which is written in the prophets, which Christ Jesus, who himself said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. So he became the Lamb that took away the sins of the world. He became the atoning sacrifice. He became the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That is verse 1. You have everything in there. The only thing he didn't mention is the Holy Spirit. But you cannot separate our Lord from the fullness of the Spirit which was in him. So if you take that teaching even further, you will find the Spirit of God in, because he had the Spirit at its fullest maximus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So now, the first two verses is God the Father, the will of God, which is God the Father, and the second one is God the Father. You have Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus our Lord. When you say Jesus Christ, the emphasis is on Jesus. That is him coming. Okay? Yeshua. And if you take Yahshua, like we say Joshua, it's a word meaning salvation, redemption. Now, when you say Christ Jesus, that's emphasis on the anointing and on the Messiahship and the approval of God. That's the heavenly title given to us. He is the Messiah sent from God. And I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. You know, I like this. You know, the problem with us, you know, many times I don't think we truly love one another. You know, Paul truly loved Timothy. He was his father in the faith. Timothy looked up to Paul as his father in the faith. Paul looked to Timothy as his dearly beloved son. He loved him. And he mentioned Timothy in his prayers night and day. Now that's love. You know, we have a listing of people we pray for. And then we have people that contact us. But there's that listing that the Spirit reminds me all the time to pray for. And many of you, if we know your name, we're praying for you. Many of you we haven't heard from in years. And we probably will never hear from you, maybe, I don't know. Who knows where you're at, what you're doing. But we pray for you. Because we love you. Now, you might have gotten mad at me or us for some reason. And for that, we're sorry. But we're not sorry if I was preaching the truth and you just got hacked off. You need to buckle up. You need to get rid of that. And you need to repent and stop hanging on to it. Without ceasing, he says, I pray for you, Timothy. You know, and that, you know, you can see love written all over it. He doesn't even have to say he loves him. You know, people are lazy today. How many people are praying for you night and day? Do you know? Well, I can tell you there are some here at Warren Radio, Tower and I, every night. And if you want prayer, you need to send us an email. Contact us from our sites. But see, this man loved Timothy, and he wanted him to be a success there. And he wanted him not to get caught up in this mentality that was going around, this money-grubbing attitude, because Paul wanted him to be ready in case persecution came. And I want you to be ready in case persecution really gets tough in America, and it will. I want you to be ready. I want you to stand above it. That's why I'm not going to preach anything but the pure word of God. This is serious to me, and it is to Tower. And now when we talk about Warren Radio going around the globe, it's literally going around the globe. From this little microphone here, it's going around the globe. Paul could never have thought about this kind of technology. One of these days, this technology is going to come to an end as far as us being able to use it. But for right now, it is full speed ahead. Right now, we can reach the world. And if I had enough money, I could get on satellite worldwide. But I don't have that kind of funds. But it costs a lot of money to do that. But you see, there's some countries that do not want to hear this. But within those countries, there are those people with smartphones that they can sneak a little listen onto something like one of our shows. In Iran, they can get this message in Iran and in China on their smartphones. If they can get to the internet, if they can download the app, at least break through the veil, just long enough to download a show, they can hear us. Or they can listen to us live. You see, because the people like ISIS and like the Ayatollah in Iran and like even Saudi Arabia, they don't like Muslims talking about Christian salvation. They don't want you to talk about that to them because they've seen too many Muslims get converted. They've seen too many Muslims come out of their room saying, I found the Lord. I know who Jesus Christ is. And that scares them to death. They are afraid of us, and they're afraid of those. You know all the Christians that ISIS was killing in the Middle East? They killed them because they're afraid of Christianity. The devil is afraid of it because he knows Christ defeated him at the cross, and then Christ was resurrected from the dead. And I got news for you. There's those of us who have been carving out a niche to preach the gospel from for many, many years. I was here in the beginning, as I've told you, and we from the beginning had this vision God put in us. We don't have to worry about physically flying to every place. We can send the word of God fast. And they can hear the word and seek God, and he can send an angel. He can send help. Oh, I know. There's nothing easy. But see, Paul loved Timothy. And I'm a firm believer that Paul saw persecution coming in the Roman Empire. I think he saw the writing on the wall, and he wanted Timothy to be ready. He says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. See, when they met, When Paul had seen him the last time, Timothy welled up with tears. Paul's eyes were stained with a little bit of water coming out of them. His heart was filled to overflowing love for Timothy. They embraced, and as the Easterners do, they will kiss each other on each cheek, a holy kiss. They will embrace. They will hang onto each other's shoulders and stare into each other's eyes. And they will know we are brethren in the faith. He will look at Timothy and see, this is my son. Do you have a son? Do you have a daughter? Do you know what natural love for your children is? Well, in the last days, one of the things that goes out of the window is natural affection. That's one of the things that no longer exists in many families, and that is a prophecy in Scripture. But you see, when you get redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, this is real. When we say that you have the Spirit of God, you have a real Spirit of the living God. When His Word is Spirit and it's life, it's real Spirit and life. You speak it, believe on it, and it will go and sow a seed, and it will bring a harvest. That is what you do. This is what this is about. It's real. And you can see by reading this. See, Paul's coming to the end. He sees persecution coming. He's tried to get Timothy ready, but he has to write a second letter because the first one, there's still problems. And he wants Timothy to be ready. He wants him to be prepared. And he says that without ceasing, Timothy. I've remembered you day and night in my prayers. I can't wait to see you again because I remember the tears of joy and love you had the last time I seen you. Because truly you're my son and I am your father. See, that's love among the brethren. Not a carnal, selfish, American type love that we screw up. But true, innocent, godly, heavenly. That's what the church needs. My church is bigger than your church. My pastor eats kennel ration. My pastor is better than yours. Oh, blah, 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 blah. That's America Christianity many times. We have a competitive spirit among the denominations. Who do you go for an interview? Well, you go get the preacher that has the biggest church, has written the most books. Why? Because you want to have the most people listening. Are you going to go find the prophet somewhere that lives in some corner? No, you're not. Why? Because America doesn't want to hear him. He's like Jeremiah was to the Jews in Israel. Jeremiah, stop preaching. Speak to us of smooth things. We talked about him last night. See, that's America. And just like when you're writing a book, if you're writing a book and it's on fire for God, don't expect the world to want to publish it. Now, you can go write some porno novel and you'll probably become a million seller. You can do like What's-Her-Name did and write it on witchcraft and magic and become a billionaire. Yeah, see, that's what the world wants. But I'm not here for the world. I'm here for those that want to know the Lord and are looking to get through this. That's what I'm here for. So we are in... verse 6. I'm going to stop there tonight and we can discuss some of these things. I love this stuff. I feel this stuff when the Spirit of God moves in me. I can feel this in my whole being. unbelievable. And so, I think we can get through this in one more session. I'm hoping. But can you feel this in your spirit tonight? Can you feel this? Can you sense what God is trying to tell us? I hope so. Because the whole thing when we get right down to it is very important. There's so much we need to be prepared for. And I trust that God will prepare you. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless your word to those who hear it whenever they hear it. Father, and I send this anointed word out across the phone lines, the internet, through all of the social sites, through all of the syndication sites that we are part of now. It literally goes around the world, Father. Send it out. Let them hear the word in the closed countries. Let them hear the word in the open countries. Draw those in who are hungry and thirsty, Father, in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from this prayer, from this miracle, from all those who hear, whenever they hear, in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I'm here. Yeah, that's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
The teaching tonight.
A lot of things are different, you know?
Oh, totally different. No, nothing like what Paul teaches, talks about is like today. Total opposite.
Well, yeah.
Scary.
Well, a lot of people don't teach it. Like
oh, they're afraid to. They'd lose people.
Yeah.
They'd lose the numbers. They can't. They're into numbers. Sad.
Well, at any rate, we're glad you joined us whenever you did. Pray for all of the syndication sites and our outreach, literally, as the word goes out. We're going to continue doing our Thursday and Friday night broadcasts because all the syndication sites now, they all have this. And most of them are meant for you to listen to it whenever you're ready rather than live. You can still come to Blog Talk and get it live. But even our video, we have a lot. We have people, and we're getting more all the time that listen, well, actually watch the video on Vimeo, and to all of our friends on Vimeo that listen to us, we thank you. Be sure, if you listen on Vimeo and you watch these videos, be sure to rate us and be sure to leave a comment and give us your thoughts. Well, we're through another broadcast tonight. We thank you for joining us.
Yeah, they sure, they go too fast, yes. We're thankful you join us to hear the truth.
Yep. So, good night, everybody. Say good night, Tower.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. God be with you, and God bless you.
Yep. We'll see you next week.
Sounds great. Good night.
We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.